Well, we're going to look this morning at Mark and chapter 4. Mark's Gospel and chapter 4, our text this morning. For one verse to pick out is in verse 9. He said unto them, the Lord Jesus, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Christ's use of parables, this wonderful means which the Lord Jesus Christ uses. And it's used throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New, a piece of divine genius to communicate, to teach, to convict the people that hear. If I can use the word to tease, to lead us to think, what does that mean? What does that mean to me? What is being said? Well, we're looking at the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded by the Apostle Peter and written down by John Mark. We've come to chapter 4. We look straight to verse 1. He began to teach by the seaside. There was a crowd, but we read here that there was a great crowd. The crowd has grown. It's swelled. What will he do? There are at least two problems from this vast crowd. First of all, they wouldn't be able to hear him if he stood in the middle of the crowd. And so, as we've thought before, he asked the disciples, keep a boat, probably a small rowing boat sort of boat. Keep it near the shore, and from time to time I will need it. And this is one of those such occasions. He sits in the boat. He spoke for many hours. Just being practical, if he'd stood up in the boat, maybe it would have wobbled. So he sits down and he rests. And he's going to speak for an hour or two, no doubt. He's going to be heard by all the people. They sat down. He sat down. Perhaps they brought their lunch with them, the children with them, a mixed crowd of people. But there's a second problem. He's got Jews, he's got Gentiles, Romans, Greeks, soldiers listening, Roman soldiers. But there's a mixed multitude. Some of them are steeped in the first five books of the Bible. They know them back to front. Some of them have a tender heart. Their hearts are so open. They're listening to every word. They're hanging on the edge of their seats if they had them. Some of them are not so tender. They're intrigued. What's this man speaking? Why is there such a crowd? We've heard about it. As the crowd grows, there are hangers-on. There are those that come and they're a bit skeptical. Skeptics. Disbelieving. And there are those who are angry. Hostile. How's he going to speak to such a crowd? Well, in a very, very small way, I have that challenge this morning. How can I speak to 70 here and maybe 70 at home? We have people here this morning. You know the Word of God better than I do. You've learned whole passages. I can start a verse. You can give me the reference. You can teach me, and you do. Many things. What can I possibly say to teach you this morning? And we have others who are earnestly seeking. You may even have found the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. We have some who are skeptics. You haven't said that as such, but in your heart there's a level of rejection. A level of hostility. You're thinking, you're even planning your getaway, You're planning to run away from God. You've got it all planned later in your life. When I'm older, when my parents can't stop me, I'm going to run away. You've already got a plan. Maybe the Lord will speak to you tonight as we think of Jonah, the runaway prophet who pictures the prodigal son. We've got some. You're just apathetic. It just washes over you. You've heard it so many times. The parable of the sower, we shall look at it. You've heard it 4 times in Sunday school, perhaps. What can it possibly say to me? And the birds of the air, they'll come and snatch the seed. Before you've got home, the seed of the word of God, it will be taken. You'll be thinking about your game. You'll be thinking about tomorrow. All the distractions and the cares of the world. And you see, it's for that reason. The Lord Jesus Christ uses this device, this method, this teaching aid of parables. Oh yes, he used many other ways. He came and healed a man who was demon-possessed. And the whole crowd could see the power, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a method of teaching. That was to show them he has the power. He has the authority. Just a word, just a sentence, come out of him. That was enough. Sometimes in the Sermon of the Mount, he just taught. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. He sat them down and he taught them. He taught in many places, sometimes on the mountainside, sometimes at the seaside, sometimes in homes. He didn't miss an opportunity. He never undermined the teaching in the synagogue. He was saying that forever there is to be a Lord's Day, our equivalent. And we're to worship, we're to preach, we're to teach. But wherever he had additional opportunities, he took them. Saturday evening, Wednesday lunchtime, in the high street, in the workplace, at school, at college, everywhere, in every situation. That's what the Lord Jesus did. Going out for a walk with somebody on a Sunday afternoon. They may not know the Lord. You go with them. Give them something of your character. Give them something of what you heard this morning. Show them, teach them. Oh, I was so helped. This is what the Lord showed me. It's wonderful. When I come to the Bible, it speaks just to my soul. It explains about my life. And every time, it has that ring of authority. I know it's true. Oh, how can you be offended at that? How can the person disagree with what God has said to you and how God has helped you? Something happened this week. You had a particular difficulty. You prayed about it. You can tell people about that. That's part of your witness. It's the way we witness naturally. We don't go to them and say, do you know you're going to hell? Sometimes we might. Sometimes time might be very short. Somebody's on their deathbed. We can't bear the thought. 24 hours, all there is left. We have to speak to them urgently. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the man on the cross urgently. But this is his method. Why parables? That's our first heading this morning. Why does he use parables? There's many answers we could give. We read Psalm 78 this morning. I will open my mouth in a parable. This is a prophecy. in that psalm. Not a psalm of David, a psalm of Asaph. I will open my mouth in a parable. The one that will come, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, he will speak in parables. There's about 40 recorded in the Gospels. Actually, Mark has the fewest, closely followed by John, depending upon how you describe and define a parable. Matthew has the most, speaking to a Jewish audience. Luke, closely followed. There's about 40, only 6 in the whole of the Gospel of Mark. 4 of them concurrently in this chapter. This is Mark's chapter of parables. So why does he use parables? It's my habit. Once every 6-7 weeks, if I can, on a Sunday evening, to take a parable. They are specifically given as teaching aids about the kingdom of God, the way that we can enter heaven, the way that our hearts can be changed, how we can be converted to Christ. That's what he says to the disciples. And so we should use them. Use them often. 40, once every 6 weeks. If you do the maths, 240 weeks, if I've got it right. Every 4 or so years, we should cover most of the parables. Some of them are so helpful. You can come at the parable of the lost son. You can speak of the father, the younger son, the older son. It's 3 parables for the price of 1. Oh, they're so helpful. But firstly, we have parables because they are the fulfillment of prophecy. Secondly, it says in that verse, Psalm 78, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings. What does that mean? I thought parables were supposed to make it easy. Well, you'll be wrong. Sometimes a parable is given to make it easy. Sometimes it's given to deliberately make it hard. Dark sayings, you see, selectively, the parables reveal the truth. Sometimes they reveal, they lift the lid. Sometimes they put it back on. They conceal. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that not everybody is to understand. When I teach and preach, I'm deliberately withholding certain truth from certain people. People that have a hard heart. People whose mind is closed. I will not show them these things. That's my method. I'm concealing. These sayings are dark. You need to have an open heart. You need to have some light before you can understand them. So they reveal prophecy. They reveal and conceal mysteries. But also, they reveal God's truth. And in every single parable, we are to look for an aspect of the character and the personality of Christ. How do I say that? Well, we'll look at it shortly. The parable of the soils. What do we possibly learn about Christ from this parable? The sower is Christ. How is the sower like Christ? How is Christ like the sower? Doesn't he come to us? Doesn't he know when to sow the precious seed? Doesn't he know when to water it? When to care for it? When to give it heat? Doesn't he know when to come near it and to weed it, to dig it around? Isn't that the Lord Jesus Christ? Every single parable, nearly all of them, have some aspect of Christ and his person and of his grace and of his kindness. They reveal God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They apply truth. Of course they do. The truth of God. If it was just a catechism, a confession, we wouldn't understand what it means. But we go to the parables and we see truth doesn't come immediately. Sometimes truth takes years to take root. Parables, they grab our attention. And they keep our attention. When you preach from a parable, you don't need to go line by line. You can narrate it. You can apply it as you go along. Why are the weeds left with the wheat? Isn't that surprising? Wouldn't have you thought that the farmer would come and take the weeds out from the wheat? I know farmers sometimes, if they want a particularly pure seed to be used for a crop next year, they will walk the field. They'll take out the weeds and the tares. But normally speaking, the weeds are left in. And in the parable of the tares and the weeds, the good seed, the wheat, grows up side by side. That's surprising. What does that mean? It means that we will live. We will even have in churches those who are unbelievers, side by side. Wheat, the child of God, and the tares, those who do not know him, those who do not have the fruit. The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man goes to hell. Oh, that's not what we would think. The people who are wealthy and they get on in life. And the poor man, the beggar, he goes to be with Christ with the sores on his arms and legs. That's not what you'd expect. There's always a surprise. They get the attention. If you've not heard them before, you think, oh, what does that mean? What's it saying to me? Of course, they make truth memorable. Who can't remember certain parables? We remember them for life. And all of a sudden, we realize that's what God was saying to me because we can remember them. You won't remember this message. You may not remember it next week or the week after. Neither will I. But you'll remember the truth of the Word of God for the whole of your life. And they have another function. They very gently expose hypocrisy. You see, amongst the hearers the Lord Jesus Christ had, there were those that kept up the appearance. They always wore the ties of the day. They always had the long flowing garments and the colored drapes and the tassels. They were to be seen on the street corners. The Lord Jesus Christ calls them hypocrites. He didn't wear such clothes. He wore a plain tunic, an ordinary set of clothes, respectful, decent. But he didn't say, look at me. And yet, the Pharisees, the scribes, they came. You could tell them. You could tell them from a distance. How could the Lord Jesus speak to them day after day? If he kept on saying cutting words, kept on calling them out, pointing to them, they would have stayed away. They would have become skillful. They would have avoided, but he didn't do that. He spoke of the older brother in the parable of the prodigal, the hypocrite, the one who thought he was better. And step by step, those hypocrites saw Christ was speaking to them gently. It's you. You're the man. As Nathan the prophet said to King David, you're the man, you did it. So kindly, he exposes hypocrisy in all of our lives through the use of parables. And then finally, parables divide. They divide those who understood. Isn't it shocking that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, with a parable that seems so plain, soil, seed, a sower, how complicated can that be? And yet they go to Christ and they say to him, explain it to us. What does it mean? How will it be that some have 30, 60, 100-fold? How will it be that some seed doesn't come to life? And some seed, it grows up with enthusiasm. But there was never any real life there. Never any root. And he has to sit down with the 12 and the others. When they're alone, he has to explain. This is what the church of Christ will be like. It will be a mixed multitude. There will be those that come to worship and they're hard-hearted. They don't appear to be, but their hearts are far from God. They do what they've done every week because they've always done it since they were a child. And that's what people expect now. But their heart is far from God. The seed falls on the path or in the rocks. And the cares of life, they come and snatch it away. There was no opportunity for the seed to sink in, the roots to gain root. There was no fruit. No fruit for God. That life was lived without God. He didn't look at the life and say, oh, what a blessing it was to others. So caring, so compassionate, so giving. Always there to help. No, that life was like the path, hard, impervious. The rain dried up. The seed couldn't grow. You see, Christ was dividing. There is the good seed that bears fruit. And there's everybody else. Oh, there's many types of them. Many types. So that's the use and the purpose of parables. It's astonishing. You read them again. You see something you've not seen before because this is Christ's method. So let's look very briefly at this parable. You know it so well. You know it. You know its symbols. The three things. Let's just say something about the sower. How does this speak of Christ? Christ, who is the perfect plantsman. He is the wise sower. He knows where to put the seed. He knows when to sow it. He knows what to do it, how many seeds to put in how much soil. Of course, Christ is the sower. But he delegates that responsibility to many sowers. Pastors, preachers, missions, missioners, Sunday school teachers, people in the workplace, people studying. They are sowers. Now I know some of us are not very skillful. Some of us don't know when to sow, when to water. When to prepare the soil so that it's ready to receive the seed. Some of us just go straight in. We go when it's not time. You sow the seed in January. It won't germinate. You go when it's cold and when it's hard and there's no reception. We should have waited 6 weeks. When the seed and the soil could come together, when the soil was warming up, and then it was ready The soil was receptive. It had been watered. And the seed will swell and grow. That's the sower. Oh, Christ. He knows what to say, what to do, when to say it. But we're to sow. Every year. In ancient times, sometimes they had two crops, two harvests every year. We should always be looking to sow. But then there's the seed. The seed is the word of God, he explains. What a beautifully simple explanation. What other seed do we need? Do we need a better seed? Do we need one that's been covered in silica gel like they do nowadays to make it germinate better? One that's been coated? No. We need the Word of God. The plain, simple Word of God. Put into the soil at the right time, in the right place, with the right care. The seed is the Word of God. It's not music. It's not entertainment. I say this again and again. It's not therapy. It's not some course. The seed is the Word of God. We need to get it out. We need to broadcast it. The old-fashioned word. Sprayed around. Put skillfully. The sower could sow it very carefully. So it was just the right interval. We need to get it out. The seed is the Word of God. But what about the soil? This is sometimes called the parable of the sower. In my Bible, I read at home, it has a different title. I think it's a much better title. The parable of the soils. Why do I say that? What's the biggest variable? What will determine the size of the crop, or if there will be a crop? Is it the sower? I don't think so. Sometimes we don't sow very well. I could pray more. I could prepare the seat upon which the seed will be sown. I could do that more. I know I could. You could do that more. Is it the seed? Oh no. This is the Word of God. It's perfect. We read in Psalm 78, the message went out. God was kind. He was gracious to his people. He displayed in so many ways. He struck the rock. The water came. The food was given. Miraculous things. Snakes didn't bite. The people had so much evidence. Is it the seed? No. Do you know the problem? My problem, your problem? It's the soil. The biggest variable in determining whether there will be any crop and how much the crop will be is the soil. Isn't that what this parable is about? Will there be a reception? Did you prepare your heart this morning? Did you come in late? Most of us, I think, were on time this morning. That's good. Did you prepare your heart? Some of us Sunday morning, we have other things to do. Collect children, teach children, take them home. That's good. The Lord knows. But did you prepare your heart last night, this morning? Did you come with a tender heart or with a hard heart? Do you listen? Do you listen to the Word of God or do you listen to me? Don't listen to me. Don't listen to the preacher and think he was good, he was bad. No, listen to Christ. Listen to his word. Let the seed come into your heart. Are we open this morning? Are we receptive? Have we come with bitterness and hardness? Somebody has done something to us. our family. A parent's not spoken to me in the way that I liked. I've taken offence. I've brought that to chapel. My wife, oh, she didn't do something. It's nagging and annoying. That will snatch the seed. That will harden the heart. When you go out this morning, will you take a responsibility to act? Not just to hear, but to act. He said to them, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Isn't it so simple? Doesn't the Lord Jesus speak in a way that's so plain? I can remember over the years, driving home on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening. Perhaps the children were not listening or they were in the back chatting. I said to my wife, "Oh, I didn't get much from that this morning. I didn't take anything." My wife said to me, "Oh, I found that so helpful. It was as though the Holy Spirit was speaking just to me, knew my heart, knew my need, knew the week that I'd had." Do you know the variable is not the sower very often. It's not the seed, never the seed. It's good seed. The variable is my heart. It's your heart. It's my preparation of your hearts. It's your preparation of your own hearts. Before you come, while you're here, when you go home, you know this parable. I don't need to go through its symbols. They're so clear. This is the parable of the soils. That's the right title. The parable of different soils, different stones, different paths. Where will the seed lay? Will it come to life? For some of you, it will. It may be coming to life already. The germination is happening. You can see it. Don't let that seed be snatched away. In the parable, there is an appearance of life. The seed begins to grow, but there's no root. Will you let it take root in your life? Will you let the roots grow deeply until the ear dies and the fruit is there? The ear dies. That's your life. Your life dies. And you have fruit for Christ. And when the harvest comes, all you have is fruit for Him. Will that be your life? Are we prepared in our hearts? Will we pray more? Will we prepare to listen? Are we open? Are we receptive? That's the message. I'm not going to look at the other three parables. We'll look at them on another occasion. But that's the purpose of parables, speaking to a mixed multitude. That's the symbols of the parable of the sower or the soils. And our final point, how do we hear God's word? Do you know what will determine whether this church grows, whether your Christian life deepens, is how you hear the word of God? I'll do my very best to prepare my heart, to prepare your hearts, to prepare the word of God. But what will determine whether it takes root and whether it grows is, largely speaking, down to your heart and, yes, the Holy Spirit that will work within the heart and bring a reception and an openness. May we come before the word of God and be open. Let the soil open. Let the seed fall in. And then the water of the Holy Spirit will come. And there'll be life and fruit. And the Father will be